Warning, the following podcast contains adult language and childish comedy. Listener discretion is advised. And now, please adjust your headphone volume to an unreasonable level and enjoy the most dynamic and electrifyingly entertaining podcast ever to conquer cyberspace.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the most powerful podcast ever created, the Amazing Pop Culture Podcast, starring Dags and Rez. Today, as always, a powerful episode. And now put your hands together. Across this powerful oaken desk is the powerful assistant manager, DJ Micah Rez.
Hello, Dags. Hello, amazing friends. How are you?
I'm good. You nice. Look well. You look good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You look well as well.
Thank you. Thanks for enjoying my look.
You're welcome.
Yes. Powerful episode today. You know, I don't want to bring us down. This is a powerful pop culture podcast, but I got bad news.
Oh, no.
But before we get into that, if you're new to this podcast, what it is me and DJ Micah Rez. By the way, you weren't here last week. What happened?
I was on a secret mission that I can't talk about, but I'd be happy to talk about it next week.
Johnny Rage was on here, and he said you were at rehab. I don't know.
Oh, well, I must have flunked out of rehab then. It's only 7 days. I couldn't take it anymore.
I said you were on assignment.
Well, rehab on assignment.
Yes.
Same thing.
So what it is a powerful podcast where me and Micah DJ Rez, when he's here, talk pop culture nonsense.
Yes.
Yes.
It's heavy on the nonsense.
Yes. So if you're serious, if you have problems, attitudes, do not listen to this podcast, but welcome everyone else.
Attitude problems. I mean, any of it, really.
Yes. A great show today. We got new music. We're excited. What did you think of that track we just played?
It was great. I liked it. Good beat. Good.
A gray beat.
It's a gray beat.
Yes.
Gray beat and
Hook Diggy.
Hook Diggy came out with the new song.
New track we're going to play. So stick around to the end of the show. It's going to play us out.
Yes.
It's called Diamond Mike. Wasn't that
I love that.
Your stage name?
Diamond
Mike back in the day?
Absolutely
was. In the 80s?
Yep. 80s, 70s, late 70s, early 80s.
Yes.
Yeah.
The disco era.
Yes. Back when studios were 54s and everything.
They were.
Yep.
Powerful. That's about your age now, isn't it? 54?
Pretty close. I actually started at Studio 53. Not many people know about Studio 53.
No, it was very underground.
Yeah, it was in Jamaica, Queens.
Yes, it was.
Yep.
You know, the sad news I'm talking about, obviously, is Micah DJ Rez is upset about it. Fruit Stripe Gum.
It's no longer. It's gone.
It's gone.
The zebra's dead.
Yeah, it lasted about as long as the flavor did.
50 years.
Yes.
It lasted. My God. Yeah, it apparently, so I was reading the story today, it stopped, Ferrera company that actually makes the gum, stopped making it in 2022. There's just that much on the market still. And once it's gone, it's gone. So buy yourself a pack, keep it on your shelf and forget about it in 20 years and then eat it because it'll still be good.
What is the point of gum? Do people still chew gum or?
That was also in the story. They said that bubblegum sales have dropped 25% since 2018. So they decided to stop making gum. That candy company no longer makes gum at all. So they had two different brands. I can't remember what the other brand was, but the other brand had been around since World War II. Now they are no longer making gum because people aren't chewing gum anymore.
Do you remember when Wrigley's had all those cool retro flavors like clove gum and all those? Did you try any of those?
Yeah, the clove gum was white, right? The package was white.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think it was.
Yeah,
I'll look it up.
Yeah,
but I don't think I ever tried the clove gum.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, you know what, I don't know if they still make it, but what was big, especially back in the high school days, was Big Red.
Big Red.
Yes, because you know,
Yeah, it was Powerful Cinnamon Gum.
Yes.
Synonym.
They called our high school Big Red.
They did.
Go Big Red.
Yes.
And then they would sell you the miniature five packs, the five-piece packs of gum.
It would look the same as your tartan outfit you wore.
How did you know I wore one of those?
Yes, because you hung out in the highlands of Scotland.
Oh, I'm sorry. Clove gum was a red package.
That would have matched.
Yeah.
Yes.
It there's
powerful flavor.
I was thinking of Beeman's. Beeman's yes. was white.
Yes.
And then Blackjack was blue.
Blackjack. What flavor was Blackjack? That's cool.
Blackjack. That's a good question. I don't know what flavor it was. I don't think it doesn't say on what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
At all. Do you remember something called Teaberry?
No.
Apparently that was a thing as well.
There was Teabag. Teabagging was to do a Call of Duty, but that was a whole different thing.
Oh, man.
Yes, powerful show today. We're going to be talking about the movie Leave the World Behind. Also, we have a powerful song of the day. Micer DJ Rez is going to report on the Golden Globes and more. We get more stuff.
And more.
And more.
It's the and more that's going to get people to stay with us.
Stay tuned and more.
That's right.
Right after these messages.
Better than Julian Fries.
From Beeman Gum. What are Julian Fries?
The straight fries? I don't know. It's not like the curly fries. I think Julian, I think they're not like, what do they call them? Shoestring? Not quite as skinny as those.
Yes. I used to love Julian Lennon fries. Those were delicious.
Oh,
yes.
Sure. Yeah, I get it.
Powerful.
Yep.
Powerful.
Yeah, I think that song, Hey Jude, is actually about Julian fries.
Hey, Julian, why are your fries so good? This is pop culture nonsense. It's just a couple of guys talking nonsense.
Yeah, it's a podcast.
It is. So lighten up, Francis. Powerful. I heard DJ Rez. I was working at One Potato Two, you know, the joint. I work at the food court, by the way.
Sure.
And there was a friend of mine, an employee, and he was talking about Kiss. And he said, I don't really like Kiss.
What?
They don't really have any good songs. And I could relate because, you know, it was just kind of 70s, you know, dressing up and all right. that jazz.
Yeah.
But I said, there is one cool song that you're going to love. Because, you know, most people think of, you know, all the disco. I was made for loving you.
And Beth.
Yes, and Beth. I mean.
It's a great ballad.
But I told them about Domino. Were you familiar with that song, Domino, before you enjoyed it?
Yes. It's probably been since it came out, since I've heard it, though. But yes, I was familiar with it. What stood out to me and what I realized I remember was the hi-hat. There's some powerful hi-hat in this song. So not only that, but there's no makeup on any of the band members in this video.
They're unleashed. They're uncaged.
Au naturel.
Yes.
So.
No Instagram filter?
None. None whatsoever. I don't know if there were filters back then other than like air filters and.
Yes, coffee filters.
Coffee filters. Just those types of filters. Yeah. Domino, for those who don't know, and if you don't know, you're about to know, was released on the band's 16th studio album in 1992. That's how long they'd been around when 1992 came about.
Yes.
That they were able to release 16 albums. It's on the Revenge album. It was written by Gene Simmons, and it actually borrows a couple elements from a song that he had written called Nasty Nasty back in 1986. With the band Black and Blue. Like I said, it was released in 92. It was a B-side, or the B-side was Car Jam 1981, and they performed it a couple of times live. They also performed it at their MTV Unplugged, but the song came out in 92. It was the video did not get played on MTV. They ignored it because that was during the Nirvana and grunge days.
It was a weird time where rock and roll was shifting, you know, glam rock and all that, and then it went into the grunge.
Yeah.
You know, the stripped down garage band.
Right. So it got caught up in that time frame, which hurt its chart tracking as it only made the Billboard mainstream rock track at number 26. Didn't even break the Hot 100.
No, what are your thoughts? The hi-hat, and what hit you when you heard that tune?
Gene Simmons is the bass player, and he's got some sweet bass lines. So he intentionally wrote a sweet bass lick into this song, and which is actually played by Paul Stanley in the video. So I think that those two elements to me stand out, and I don't know why the hi-hats stood out, because I don't know, it just seemed like there was a lot of it throughout the entire song.
I love how it starts out just him talking.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you a little story about a little fat boy. It's awesome.
And he's eating fast food throughout the entire video.
And then the guitar just fucking kicks in.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the bass.
Yeah.
It's cool how he'll say like, oh, and the bass will go boom.
Yeah.
It's that song fucking rocks.
Yeah. And I was reading when he said when he wrote it, he wrote the bass line, didn't have a melody in mind at all. Couldn't come up with the melody. And then he like tweaked a little something in Nasty Nasty and then came up with the melody that came with the song.
I love that song. That song rocks. And the dude I work with at the food court, right away, he said, this song is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it was released at a bad time.
Yes. I don't know if a lot of people remember it, but you guys got to check it out. Yeah. Domino by Kiss.
Yeah. I would recommend it.
Yeah. Rocks.
Yep. Very, very good. Very underrated. If there is a renaissance to Kiss, Domino will lead the way.
Yes. If you leave this podcast with only one thing you remember, please remember Domino by Kiss. The song rocks.
Yes. And it's 4 minutes and 1 second.
Yeah, it's a quick, no nonsense. It just gets into it. It rocks.
Yep.
It's a great driving song, too.
It is.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. You could definitely, like, in the summer, roll down the windows and just ride.
Do you have a convertible?
I will now.
I'm going to need you to get a convertible. Oh,
perfect. It's a write-off at this point, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Be sweet.
Fuck. Rockin' Domino. And Mike or DJ Rez?
Yes.
You unfortunately had to... your assignment was unfortunately to have to watch the Golden Globes.
Yeah. It sucked.
Do we even need these shows anymore?
We don't need the Golden Globes anymore.
Yes.
We don't need the SAG Awards. Just give us.
Well, even the, you know, here's the thing. It's just a bunch of, it's not even an American company that runs the Golden Globes. It's like some foreign.
Yeah, it's the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we can get rid of the Golden Globes. Like I said, and the SAG Awards. It's the same people getting the same awards. And I know they say the Golden Globes, it's a precursor to the Oscars. Just give us the Oscars.
Now, what do you think of the host?
Joe Coy is somebody that I enjoy watching his stand-up. His stand-up specials on Netflix are hilarious. He sucked and bombed on the Golden Globes.
Now, why do you think that is?
I think, he even said it because he started bombing. He started panicking. When he said, hey, I just got the job 10 days ago. I don't know if it was really 10 days ago, but he was the last minute fill-in. A lot of the jokes were not very funny, seemed rushed. It's like he was just trying to be Ricky Gervais when he's not Ricky Gervais. So, and he even said during the opening monologue, he said, what do you expect from me? But you're laughing at the jokes I've written. So he was like coming up with an excuse why he was bombing, which just.
He was trying to say the jokes that you didn't laugh at, someone else wrote, but the ones that I wrote.
Yeah, you're laughing at. So yeah, it was a struggle. It was a hard first 10 minutes to watch. And then it didn't get any better. He made a crack on Taylor Swift that either Taylor Swift didn't like or didn't hear.
It wasn't even. No, she heard it. It wasn't even that big of a deal. He was just talking about the NFL.
Right.
Oh, there's more shots of her than there are at the Golden Globes. And then they pan over to her.
Right.
And she has a sourpuss look on her face.
Yeah. So I think there were some funny moments, but I think overall it wasn't that great. I didn't stay up and watch the whole thing either.
Yeah. Well, hosting that show, it's like a no-win situation for the host.
Right.
You're not going to get a bump out of it. You're not going to get anything.
No.
Now you're going to have the Swifties all over you.
Yeah. I didn't even realize Joe Coy was hosting. And honestly, I thought to myself, I even told my wife, I was like, he's funny, but he's not host an award show type of guy. You know, I mean, they must have went through the list of people.
Well, no one wants to do it anymore. I mean, remember when, what's his name got canceled?
Ricky?
No, the other dude for the Academy Awards.
Sure.
Kevin Hart.
Oh, Kevin Hart. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like...
They busted out some tweet he did back in the day.
Yeah, it seems like anytime you get a host up there now, they're going to find something to cancel you for. Even if you don't say anything controversial on the show, they're going to find something you did in third grade. It's like, oh my God, he colored out of the lines.
Yes.
That rainbow didn't have the right Roy G. Biff.
We need to cancel you, Mike or DJ Riz.
What for?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I can't wait.
Powerful.
Let me know what it's for.
Speaking of Twitter, now X, make sure you follow us on all social media. On X, at Amazing Pop Pod. And Mike Rez's handle is at Mike Rez Radio.
True.
Make sure you follow us on Instagram. Like our Facebook page. And please subscribe to our powerful YouTube channel.
Please.
Now, Mike or DJ Rez?
Yes.
You and me had to watch a film. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so the name of the movie, it's on Netflix right now, and I think it's still trending on Netflix, or like the top 10, I believe.
What do you, those trends are bullshit anyway.
Yeah, well, it's not the same for everybody. It depends on what you've watched and given a thumbs up to. Leave the World Behind, which came out this year. It's an apocalyptic psychological thriller written and directed by Sam Esmail. It is based on the 2022 novel written by Rahman Alam, and it stars Julia Roberts, Mahershala Ali, Ethan Hawke, Mihala, and Kevin Bacon. It's actually more of a feature.
Oh my God, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, he's so hot. So it's they're trying to attempt to make sense of the gradual breakdown in society, really, because phones stop working, television stop working. Technology in general just stops working. Animals are starting to go crazy. That's pretty much the plot. It is Amanda Sanford is the name of Julia Roberts' character, who seems to feel like her and her family need to get away from the city and take a vacation because she can't stand people. So her and Ethan Hawke take their kids. They're in New York, so they go to the coast, like outstate New York, and they've rented an Airbnb or something like that. And they try to get away from the city because Julia Roberts throughout the entire movie hates people.
And she hates fucking people.
That's right. And they feel as if she has to remind the people watching every 5 minutes that she does not like people. So their first night at the house, the owner actually shows up, played by Mahershala Ali and his daughter Ruth. And they talk about a blackout that's going on in the city, and they know it's kind of uncomfortable and weird, but they need to spend the night in their house with them. And Julia Roberts doesn't trust them because she hates people, and it turns into like this uncomfortable situation where the whole time I was looking at that screen going, it's their house, just let them in their own house, for God's sake. So it was kind of a weird thing. And then they kind of, you know, make you think, is this guy for real? Does he really own the house? And then the next day, they're trying to figure out what's going on. As more clues or less clues make it more murky as far as, is it a blackout? What's going on? Ethan Hawke tries to get back into town. He somehow gets lost. Doesn't know how he got lost or how he gets back to the house. The daughter is freaking out because she can't watch the end of Friends. And then all of a sudden she notices a herd of deer close to the backyard of the house they're staying. It just...
Do they have chronic wasting disease?
You would think they do.
Yes.
It makes you think that they do, for sure.
The animals always know. They know what's going on in the world.
That's what this movie was telling you.
Yes.
And then flamingos show up.
Yes.
But yeah, that's basically the plot. They're trying to figure out what's going on with this blackout. Two different families colliding, trying to get along with each other.
Horrible movie.
Terrible movie. Yes. Leave this movie behind.
Yes. Wow. Powerful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in quotes.
Oh, absolutely.
Leave this movie behind.
Yeah. It's if Siskel and Ebert were still a thing, that's what they would say.
What's that Key and Peele guy? This seems like one of his movies.
Oh.
Like Get Out or Go Home or... He has all those movies.
Well, I think it would have been a little bit more watchable if he had something to do with
M. Night.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Ding, ding, dong.
Yeah.
One of his movies.
If it tried to be that, it failed miserably. It was like, so in the movie you watch it, it's like different parts. I think there's four parts.
Oh, chapters.
That's right, chapters.
With cool graphics.
It was as if somebody said, we're going to get together four writers. They're each going to write a chapter, but we're only going to tell them the end of the chapter prior to the one they're writing. We're not going to let them see what the other writers wrote, because it was just like four stories that were connected, just thrown together, and none of it made sense.
What did you think of the cinematography? Like, the camera shots are driving me nuts. They had all these weird drone shots, and
yeah,
everything's
moving.
It was
sideways.
Yes,
at a couple of points. Yeah, I couldn't stand that. God, it was annoying.
And you know what else they had? They had the old TikTok trope where they make coffee. You know, it's like,
right.
Those real quick shots.
Yeah, yeah, it was so bad. I mean, and then just when you, like, in the first part of the movie, when you think action's about to start and you get the big oil tanker,
yeah, what was
washing
that
up on the beach,
it
and you're like,
me of, remember the steamroller scene in Austin Powers?
Oh, okay. No.
Exactly.
He's like, get out of the
way.
There's
like this huge ship and it just keeps coming.
I think the ship's coming close to us. Ah, shut up.
Then they finally, you know, do the shot from Jaws, you know, where,
right,
oh my goodness. And then it comes up about 2 inches up on the shore. It was horrible.
Yeah, I like it. They like all run away and it wasn't even close to where they were on the beach. Yeah. And just, you think that's like, okay, here we go. The action's going to start. And then it slows down again.
And it just shows you that horrible directing, horrible cinematography, and horrible script. Like, they had some decent actors. I mean, I like Ethan Hawke. I love, yeah, Kevin Bacon.
See,
Julia Roberts, but the script was so horrible.
Yeah.
Like, they had, everything was shocking by saying the F word.
Right, right.
And then they had a show throwing all these Gen X buzzwords. You notice that? And everything, the internet's not working. Did you try to reboot the internet?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
so you bring up the acting, and I think the acting was good, because I was annoyed by every character, and I think that's what every character was supposed to be, annoying. And it worked, because it was fucking annoying.
It was horrible.
Couldn't stand it. But yeah, like you said, the plot was horrible. The acting was good. The script was bad. The directing was bad. It was all bad.
Did you honestly sit through the whole show?
I did.
Good for you.
And I did, because I like to torture myself. That's my kink, is movie torture. It's 2 hours and 21 minutes. There's about 15 to 20 minutes of dialogue they could cut out easily. There's when Ethan Hawke is getting high with the daughter. They could have cut that out.
Yes.
That had nothing to do with the story. They could just have been like, she could have been like, hey, you want to smoke some pot? And then cut to the next scene of the flamingos landing in the pool.
Yes.
Because what they said to each other had nothing to do with it didn't bring the story along. It didn't add anything to the story. Nothing was discovered by that dialogue. And then you go right to Julia Roberts and Mahershala Ali in the kitchen, and the part where he's talking about his client, because he's like some kind of money manager.
Yes, he's a suave and debonair,
yeah,
young man.
So you could keep that part in, but then cut the rest of it out, you know, about her being a bitch, and which they bring up a lot. And, you know, it's just like, oh, God, we don't know. What are we going to do? Well, talk about how much she's a bitch. You know, it's like, Jesus Christ, again? Like, we know she is not a nice person. Why do we have to keep reminding us about it? It was so bad. It was terrible. And is it apocalypse? Is it a radiation attack? Is it a blackout?
Yes.
Is it New York City being bombed? Or is it this poor 13-year-old girl just wanting to watch the end of Friends?
What was the Friends thing? What did you get out of that?
Nothing. I thought it was...
What were they going for?
I don't know.
Because this movie was saturated with politics and that we won't even get into. You know, it was just...
Well, let's talk about one of the worst scenes. And there's a lot of them in this movie. But the you know, everyone's... They're saying that it was hackers that broke into the...
Yes, hackers.
That caused this blackout. But then the hackers hack into like the Tesla electric car, self-driving car.
Thank you.
And they block all the main roads.
Yes, evil white Teslas.
Yeah, and they get up to these Teslas, and she's like, oh my God, they're all brand new. Look at, they got the factory stickers. And then all of a sudden, 20 Teslas come out of nowhere and try to smash in. It was like, come on. It just, yeah, it was bad.
Yes.
God, it was so bad.
Is that Obama ripping on our boy Elon Musk, you think?
It might be. Because it was executively produced by the Obamas. It was the first movie their movie production company did.
I think maybe if you made it like a zombie comedy, even though I hate zombies, you know what I mean? But how can you make that serious?
This movie, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's horrible.
No, I think, like I said, you got to cut out at least 20, 25 minutes of dialogue, and then you got to give us more action. You can't,
yes.
And you can't, it's like the movie didn't know what it wanted to be.
No.
Like, as far as, is this an apocalypse? Is this a Red Dawn type situation? Is it a contagion? Because the other thing, the kid gets bit by a bug or something, and then his teeth start falling out the next day. What is going on?
It could have been the sonic weapons.
Oh, the noise?
Yes.
That's one of the chapters, too. The noise.
A quiet place.
It could have been a quiet place. You never know.
But I think the only way this show would work if you made it over the top zombie, Quentin Tarantino, some kind of just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it would have been cool if like the Cloverfield monster would have.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
Right. You got to give me something.
Yeah, and I hated the camera work. If you're going to do that, then do some filming using a phone or using a, what's that little handheld DJI camera?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's on like a...
Yeah, it's on a gimbal.
Yep.
Use something like that, and that would at least make sense and have the young kids in the show film it or something.
Yeah.
Make it like some point of view TikTok. Because if you're going to shoot it like a straight movie, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
It didn't work at all. And then Kevin Bacon's character is just like this weird character that he didn't add really much to the story.
Yeah, how do you waste Bacon?
Yeah, they wasted
everything bacon. Is better with bacon.
Yeah, it was definitely something odd about that character. And then it seems like all the neighbors knew what was going on because none of the neighbors are around except for Kevin Bacon. But like the first neighbor he goes over where the plane crashes in the ocean.
Yes.
Okay, what the fuck? And not only one, but that's the second plane that crashed in that area. I mean, what a coincidence. You know, that neighbor wasn't home. That neighbor seemed to know what was going on and hightailed it out of there. And then the neighbor at the end that has the bunker wasn't there either. They hightailed. How did they know what's going on before these two families did? And, you know, it's just like, I don't get it. I don't know what was going on. And then it just ends. Which was probably the worst part because it made me feel like I wasted 2 hours and 21 minutes worse than I already felt I had.
Yes.
It was bad.
All right. So what are we giving this movie out of?
5 loose teeth.
Wow. You didn't even hesitate. 5 no. Loose molars.
I'm giving it one loose molar.
0. I'm giving it 0.
Wow.
That's it didn't bad. Even show up. On the Andy Richter scale, 0.
Did you make it through the whole movie or did you quit on it? You quit on it, didn't you?
I quit. I couldn't do it.
You tapped out?
I tapped out.
What part did you tap out at?
I don't remember. I remember seeing the flyers. I remember the crazy Mexican woman.
Oh, yeah.
That he didn't help.
Yeah. Yeah. So you saw the airplane or the drone dropping the flyers?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I actually went back and pieced it back together. But
did you?
Yeah.
Did you see the part where the teeth were falling out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
No.
It's pretty much like where the movie should have ended, where he drove away and not help that poor lady yelling at him. So, yeah. And that was the other part when I brought up that Ethan Hawke got lost going to town and then got lost coming back. It didn't seem like it's a small town. It's like it's got one road in town that takes you from your Airbnb to the town that you're living in, like to the grocery store. And he couldn't seem to figure out how to drive that one road into town. And then he says he got lost on the way back too.
What if Denzel Washington was in it? It was like Training Day Part 3.
He was originally supposed to be in it.
Really?
Yes. Mahershala Ali.
That guy sucked.
Took his spot.
He's trying to be way too cool. And the daughter was annoying.
Yeah, every character was annoying.
There's no likable character.
No. Even Ethan Hawke's character is kind of not fun.
No.
So it would have been a different movie if Denzel was in it. He could have played like the Remember the Titans coach. That would have been even better. Wouldn't have made sense.
How about Tom Cruise? He would have ran a lot.
I would say there was no running in the movie. He could have ran towards the, did you see the part where they had the herd of deer that they yelled at?
Yes.
He could have run at the herd of deer.
Yes. He doesn't like deer.
No. And when the flamingos landed, he'd be like, "Flamingo, talk to me."
I think, or how about Tom Cruise going like full Dutch from Predator? Just like smearing mud on him and just like fighting deer.
I think Schwarzenegger should have been in this movie.
Oh my goodness.
Would have been a action movie.
What character would he be? He'd be some grizzled old guy that lived at.
He would have been Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm stalking Vada.
I'm just here to protect my family. Like, come on, Daniel, help us out.
They need to bring him back. No. Like in Commando, yeah.
Yeah. Remember when I said I would kill you last?
I lied.
Sully would have to be back.
Yes.
For sure.
Horrible movie.
Terrible movie.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, don't bother.
No.
Just don't bother. If you watch it, you're just encouraging Netflix to buy even more terrible movies. It just isn't good. We need to get away from terrible movies.
What is the last good movie you saw? Godzilla?
Godzilla. Yeah, definitely Godzilla.
What's coming up? What do you think? Are you looking forward to anything like Civil War?
Yeah, I am looking forward to that. I think apocalyptic type movies like that will be the next zombie craze. You know what I mean? We're gonna deal with that phase of movie genre. And it'll be cool for a while and then it'll run its course and then we'll get into like Frankenstein movies again or something. So hopefully we get more really good Godzilla movies from that.
The real one.
Yeah, the movie studio that just, the movie studio that just did Godzilla Minus One. Hopefully we get some more of those.
Any word on the black and white? Is that going to be released in the U.S.?
I have not heard, but I know Japan is enjoying the black and white re-release of that. I did see a trailer just before I got here today. Amazon Prime remade Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Maya Erskine and Donald Glover. And it looks horrible.
It sounds horrible.
Yeah, they kind of give its own little twist. So in the original Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, they're secret agents that didn't know each other were secret agents that were married. This one, they both know they're secret agents and get paired up as a married couple, and they have to pretend they're a married couple. And it does not look good.
No, it will not be good.
No. So, but yeah. Actually, I haven't watched, I know Reacher just came out, the second season of Reacher. And I haven't watched any of that yet, but I'm hoping to get to that this weekend.
Okay, we'll fire that up. And also last episode, me and Johnny Rage talked about Tulsa King.
Oh, yeah.
Did you enjoy that? Did you watch that?
I've never seen Tulsa King.
Yeah, you should check it out.
All right.
I didn't like it, but he told me to watch 4 episodes.
Okay.
So I got through about 1.5.
We got to find you something you're going to watch all the way through.
I know. He said I hate everything, which is probably true.
Yeah.
But I loved Godzilla.
Right.
I think my problem is I've seen every movie, every TV show since the 80s.
Sure.
So it's got to be really well made.
Yeah. You know what needs to be re-released on streaming services is the Series V. Not the made-for-TV miniseries, but like the actual series, like the episodes. When they did, I think, about 1 or 2 seasons of V, they need to re-release that.
Yeah, that was a good show. Yeah. Do you remember Friday the 13th, the series?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
I like that one.
Did you? Yeah, that one's not bad. So we need to get back to more like series based off of horror movie or something.
Top of your head, what are some your favorite horror flicks series?
Horror flicks series. So I like Tales from the Crypt is one of my very favorites.
Good. Yeah. Very good.
Creepshow is not very bad.
Whoa. I love Creepshow.
Yeah, Creepshow was good. So
what was your favorite little segment?
of Creepshow. Well, the raft. I think they called it the raft.
That was Creepshow 2, I believe.
That was Creepshow 2.
Where the raft
the
was
blob
very
in the middle of the lake.
Yes.
Everyone gets eaten.
Yes, I like that one.
And the guy
a lot.
The guy gets to the shore and he's like, "I beat you." And then here comes the blob tsunami.
I like that. That was a great show.
Yeah. The one with the cigar shop Native American statue that comes to life.
Yes.
That one was pretty good.
That was cool.
I like that one. The Stephen King one was all right. And then I don't know if it was the second one or the first one where the woman doesn't pick up the hitchhiker or whatever, or runs him over by accident. And he's like, she gets to the garage and she opens the door and the guy's like right underneath her tire. He's like, "Thanks for the ride, lady." And kills her in her garage.
I love trilogies and I love that kind of stuff because they're short.
Yep.
Straight to the point, and I my mind wanders, so that way you can just watch it, boom, and then you're on to another one.
Right.
And if you don't like that one, there's another one coming up.
Yeah, short movies are better than long
yes.
movies.
Like that movie we saw, that Leave the World Behind, if that would have been a short little movie, just like you said, cut out all the bullshit, and maybe it would have worked better. I don't think so, but...
It would have had a better chance.
Yeah, there's nothing about that movie to make it that long.
No, nothing at all. Because it doesn't give you anything.
No.
And just when you think action's going to start, it doesn't start.
No, there's no action. There was no suspense. The characters were horrible.
Yeah.
The soundtrack was horrible.
The ending sucked.
Yeah, cinematography.
Yeah, the CGI deer herd.
Ugh.
Bad. And it just, yeah, there's just, I don't know. You thought when the deer herd came, I thought, okay, one of them's going to die here. And there's like the boss deer that comes up and you're like, "Ooh, this guy's pissed." Nothing happens. Boring. Can't take it. We need to get back into things happening. We need main characters dying.
Yes.
We need apocalypses happening. Not zombie apocalypse. It doesn't have to be zombies anymore. It could be end of the world stuff.
Yes.
We've moved on.
80s nudity.
80s. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Gratuitous nudity.
Yes.
Just like Return of the Living Dead.
Oh.
When they're in the cemetery and she gets naked and dances on the crypt for no reason.
Yes. There's a reason.
Well.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We need more of that.
Yes, we do. Maybe me and you should make a film.
What would we call it?
I don't know. What genre? What would you do? Right off the top of your head, what kind of movie would you make?
80s horror noir.
80s horror noir.
Yeah, gotta be a noir.
Yes, because we don't have enough money for lighting, so it'd be
right.
Very dark.
Yep, we'd waste all of our money on other stuff.
Yes, on makeup.
Right, yep.
We should.
Yeah, and apparently you don't have to put much effort into a script. Because Netflix will just buy it anyway.
I actually made a cool little short horror movie on YouTube.
You
make
did?
Make sure you check that out. Yes.
Nice. What's the YouTube channel name?
Amazing Pop Culture Podcast. Yes.
Great name.
You just Google that and you're going to find it.
Nice.
Yes.
Just Google Amazing Pop Culture Podcast.
And Google Mike Rez.
Oh, please do.
Yes. He just got a new laser engraver.
I did.
He's excited.
So excited. You saw my engraver.
Yes.
It's awesome. It's a fun toy.
It is.
It's you can engrave anything. Might get my new next tattoo on that thing.
A new tattoo.
Yeah, with my laser engraver for sure.
Yes, you should get the logo of our show.
There you go.
Yes. I'll pay for it.
Okay. There you go. Well, it's free now. It's on the laser engraver.
It is.
Do that.
Or you could get like a...
Put it on my forehead.
Has anyone ever done that? Burned a... laser tattoo? I'm sure they have.
I'm sure they have. That'd be the stupidest thing ever, though.
Why?
It's hot. It would hurt. What if you accidentally keep your laser power on 90?
Well, so do branding. Branding hurts.
Yeah, well, I'm not getting branded. I'm not doing that either for the show.
Powerful. Well, Mike or DJ Rez, did you enjoy your time on this powerful episode?
I always do.
Cool. Well, I hope you guys had a good time hanging out with us. We just ask you one thing. Please tell a friend about our podcast. And until next time, you've just enjoyed the Amazing Pop Culture Podcast.
Lights flaring, sirens blaring. People on the curb with the camera phone staring. No sometimes we get a little nervous when we talk to ya. Keep my hands attended to you, Mr. Officer. Registration insurance all up on the dash. Didn't want to reach for him, moving too fast. Where you say I'm going? Creepy got it blazing. On my way to sound check, people gonna be waiting. All this gear's mine and I promise I ain't rob him. I'm heading to a show right now, is that gonna be a problem? Yeah, I seen the red light, no I wasn't speeding. Cause I keep my head tight, controlling my breathing. Excuse all my assumptions, I know I preempted. You might have a gumption, you just might get tempted. If I was carrying anything that someone would be using, the only dope I got up in the trunk is this music. Only dope I got up in the trunk is this music. Sound check perfect, ready for the serving. Line around the corner, fire marshal getting nervous. People already got the cell phones up. Hit the stage, ready to erupt. We got stuck like microphone is on, but the music no sound. We don't let the pressure get us down, so I'm a acapella on them. Nothing but a stellar moment, for sure.
Great beat, you a monster for this one.